Professor Killian, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, can just to start, how did we develop this new technology?
Yes, well, it was really being in the right place at the right time, having a team that had several innovations that we put together. Iman Rouhani, who's an academic in chemistry here, had developed this fascinating paste material that's based on some ceramics. And what was really interesting is when we add that to water, it instantly transforms into this bone-like mineral that really has a lot of the same properties as bone. So this got us really excited. And so we had been working at the time in my lab on developing these support materials for 3D printing, where you can actually add cells to the material. And so in this way, you could perhaps have a patient's cells within this soft suspension, and then you could print bone directly in there. And that's exactly what we did. And so we think that, you know, the combination of, you know, this fast-setting ceramic material that can be printed in a biological environment really paves the way to all sorts of exciting advances spanning medicine, dentistry. The sky's the limit, I think.
Yeah, so tell us a bit more about that. What sort of things can we expect out of this new technology? What do you think it will bring to medicine?
Yeah, well, we're exploring the landscape currently. And so the first thing that we have to do now is show that it actually works in tissue. And so we have some trials going on in animals. We're going to see if we can replace bone with this material. And what we're doing is now looking for partners, so people that would be interested in supporting this further such that we could go in and use it in a dentistry clinic or in a hospital. And so, you know, currently I think, you know, outside of any of that, we'll be able to print a structure that emulates natural bone and then put that directly into a patient. And as you said in the intro, being able to speed up the process is really game-changing. And so, you know, for the short term, I think once we show that it's biocompatible in tissues, which we believe it will be, we'll be able to fabricate bone-like structures on a patient-specific level. So you could imagine if someone comes into a clinic and they have to have bone removed for cancer, or if they had a critical defect due to injury, you may be able to now take a scan using the types of techniques they do in a hospital to really image that bone that is being taken out. And then we could actually translate that to a 3D printer, and thereby in one step we'd be able to print the patient's bone that was removed directly inside the body, which we think is game-changing. I mean, the current state of technology is really if you have a critical size defect, which is essentially a part that's too big to regrow within a patient, what we might be able to do now is actually make that part in situ. And what people have done previously is they actually have to take a chunk of that patient's bone from a different region, a part that, you know, isn't all that, isn't going to be too dangerous to the patient. And so now we may be able to eliminate the need for that by just printing directly.
Wow. So the existing technology, you're taking chunks of bone from elsewhere and sort of replacing things as best you can. But this one really allows you to sort of model exactly the part that you need, print it and put it where it needs to go.
Yes, I mean, that's one embodiment of it, being able to print it and put it there. I think in the future, you could even print directly into a patient. And so you could imagine having the cavity open by a surgeon, and then the surgeon could just go there and bring a little robot that does the printing directly to the patient's limb or wherever they need the bone printed. And then it could go inside that cavity and print it directly because the material solidifies within minutes. And it really has a lot of the similar architectures of how nature makes bone inside a body. And so we think it's just a tremendous advance.
Yeah, right. And so, yeah, you mentioned that it's got that sort of same architecture to nature. So it really is a synthetic product that will be accepted by the body and match well with organic bone.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we think because we've done a lot of characterization, it has a lot of the same structure all the way from the nanoscale up to macro scale. And so we think it's game-changing in that respect. And being able to just do it directly inside a patient and also be able to do it in the presence of cells and proteins and potentially blood vessels, fat, all of the things that really make our body function. The past techniques haven't been able to do that effectively. And so it's really the first a way that you can actually do that.
Wow. Okay. And what other applications might this technology have, even outside of surgery?
Yeah. Well, we've been looking at all sorts of ideas. One that we've been exploring a bit with dentists is as a filler material. And so currently, if you have to have a cavity filled in a tooth, you'll have a mixture of ceramic-based materials and polymers that you actually have to cure by using UV light and things like this. And this might be a good substitute for that because in many ways it reflects some of the structure of the bone that's inside dental tissues. And so that's another application. We're also exploring just some of the material's properties. I mean, bone is a really interesting material, and so we may be able to use this for all sorts of other things. You know, in the laboratory, in just basic research, people are interested in developing models to study disease, to look at how bone forms, to look at how tissues and cells integrate with bone-like materials. And so we think it'll be a tremendous boon to basic researchers as well.
Wow, fantastic. Now, you've developed this technology. Where exactly are you at right now in terms of rolling it out and sort of what's next for your team?
Yeah, that's really the next step, the thing that we're gearing up to do. And so, you know, we filed a patent on it, and so we're protecting the intellectual property, and we're now talking to just whoever's interested. And so we've had conversations with orthopedic scientists, companies that make implants, and so another potential application is using it to augment things like total hip replacements or knee replacements. And so it's identifying those, you know, the scientists and the engineers and the companies that are willing to invest money in this, such that we could then start translating it to the field. And I think within the next year, you know, we hope to get our animal studies finished so that we can then look for regulatory approval. And once we cross those things off our list, then it's time to move into the marketplace and see if we can really help patients.
Wow. Super, super exciting. That's all we have time for this morning, Professor Killian, but it's just fascinating and exciting stuff for this technology to be produced right here in Sydney.
Well, thanks for giving me the opportunity to share it this morning.